Cape Talk. The European Report with Katie MacDonald.
The European Report with Katie MacDonald, all the way from Budapest, Hungary. Katie, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. How are you doing?
No, I'm pretty well. Yeah, I was a bit worried that I'd be caught and miss you this morning. Mm. But I'm here and completely sporting out. What would the term be? Having watched a lot of sport on the weekend. I mean, how would you say that you're all sported out?
Yeah, no, look, I think but nonetheless, Katie, I promise you, I am. I want some more, though. They can never, ever, ever be enough. But yeah, let's talk about, the World Cup. What's the latest from Europe?
Yeah, celebrations of the win. And it was quite amazing watching it. And I have to admit that I'm not always very good at watching a whole game of football. In fact, I don't think I've done it often, just because one has to pay attention for 19 minutes or longer. But it was pretty exciting. And you're watching this and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, these guys have just won the World Cup. And it's the most popular sport in the world. And so the French quite rightly have gone, you know, fairly ballistic when it comes to celebrations. And the Paris Metro, I mean, I love this. This is so clever, Abs. And it carries goodness knows how many, you know, hundreds of thousands of people or more a week. But they've temporarily renamed six stations in honor of, you know, their World Cup victors. So, for example, the French coach, two of the metro stops feature his name. So there's one metro stop that's called Notre-Dame des Champs, and they've called it Notre Didier Deschamps. And one of the central stops has been renamed Deschamps Élysée Clemenceau. So it's Élysée Clemenceau. Anyway, but they put his name there. And there's a station called Victor Hugo, which was named in honor of the French author Victor Hugo. But they've changed that to Victor Hugo Lloris, the goalkeeper. And Charles de Gaulle, Étoile, at the top of the Champs-Élysées, the beautiful boulevard, that's been called Honneur des Étoiles. We have two stars in reference to the fact that they won two World Cups. And another station called Bercy has been called Bercy Les Bleus because it rhymes with Merci Les Bleus, thank you, the Blues. And Avron on another line has been called Nous Avons Gagné, we've won. So, I mean, they're having great fun playing around with that. And just by the by, in London as well, Southgate Station, temporarily they've renamed that Gareth Southgate Station. But it wasn't just, you know, the metro, the Parisian transport people who were having fun. In the Louvre Museum, where you've got the famous Mona Lisa painting, they tweeted a picture of the Mona Lisa with a French football shirt on. So that's, you know, I mean, you can understand they're rightly excited. Sadly, you know, as sometimes happens, these celebrations do turn a bit tragic. You know, there were some reports of vandalism in the capital and two people died. I mean, one man jumped into a canal just after the final whistle and broke his neck, and another drove into a tree. So, yeah, that's sad. I think people do tend to get overexcited. But generally, as you can imagine, Abs, I mean, it's a pretty happy country right now, France.
Yeah, no. Hey, vive le français, as they say, uh-huh. Katie. But let's talk about being labelled a foe of the United States.
Oh, dearie me, I know. So, you know, this big meeting, I mean, Trump hits the continent and, yeah, says all sorts of things, and then he's got this huge summit with Putin in Helsinki, and he gives a TV interview the day before, and he refers to the European Union as his biggest foe globally right now. I mean, that's ahead of Russia and China, you know, largely due to the issues over trade and that. So here's the European Union and the European Council reacting to this, looking at this. I mean, what do we do? Because US and EU relationships have always been really good, Abs, and obviously post-World War, you know, with the establishment of NATO and such things. And, yeah, in many ways, they've always been allies. So Donald Tusk, who's the European Council president, he tweeted on Sunday night that America and the EU are best friends. Whoever says we are foes is spreading fake news. Ha, ha. The German foreign minister, he was pretty direct in his, I know. Yeah, throw it back, eh, Abs? He was quite direct in his response. So Heiko Maas, he's just essentially said that European countries have got to readjust. You know, they've got to relook at their partnership with the US. And they've just got to align themselves more, you know, closely with themselves and, you know, amongst each other and not let them, you know, not let the union be divided. But yeah, they've just got to deal with the status quo and how the current regime or American regime is acting towards Europe. And the French foreign minister, you know, he kind of sort of took it, well, said that they need to take this with a pinch of salt because everyone seems to be an enemy of America at the moment. But yeah, it's it causes concern, Abs, because you're dealing with commentary that's, yeah, you have to react to all the time, and it challenges policy that's long been in place. So it's been quite a challenge for the European Union. This change in the United States, putting it mildly.
And Katie, then how do you become, you know, what do you need to be the most livable city in the world? What's the criteria here?
I don't know, that's why I thought, you know, this is interesting. I love these surveys. I don't know why I love these surveys. But, yeah, you look at that. So the most livable city in the world. What is it makes a city livable? Is it beauty? I mean, gosh, I mean, Cape Town. You wake up every morning, you know, certain parts to Cape Town. Well, the mountain is beautiful and the sea and such. But, yeah, Munich has been crowned the most livable city in the world for 2018. And they suppose, well, not supposedly, but what they do is people that put together this particular survey, they look at a work-life balance that is healthy. They look at the mood of the residents. They look at how effective, user-friendly the infrastructure is and public services. And that's parks and transport and such things. So all of those things that make a city easy to live in for all of its inhabitants, Abs. And I think that's a big thing. And, you know, safe and secure streets, the kind of environment that people can really interact with, you know, with regards to the city. And it's just quite interesting because you look at this latest Livable Cities or this particular report, and a lot of Northern European cities do figure. So you've got Munich that I mentioned, that's come first. It knocked Tokyo, Japan off. And I don't know, Abs, Tokyo, I mean, what do you think of when you think of Tokyo?
It's hectic. I'm thinking buzzing, I'm thinking money, and I'm thinking technology, I'm thinking innovation. Well, at least that's what I see on TV.
But to me, and I get what you say, but it just looks like an almost scary place to live because it is so big and so busy. But that's been knocked down to number two. And then you've got other European cities, you know, like the top five apart from Tokyo. So Munich, Tokyo, Vienna, Zurich, Copenhagen. But interestingly enough, none of the Central European or Eastern European cities feature. And one particular government official here in Budapest has said that they want to work towards upping their ranking. So it's, you know, possibly something for cities to aspire to. But I don't know. So we're all going to pack up and go to Munich now.
Yeah, I don't see that happening anytime soon. Anyways, Katie, always a pleasure. Welcome back. Always a pleasure chatting with you. Looking forward to our chat again on Thursday.
That we will. We will indeed.
Cheerio. Katie McDonald, all the way from Budapest to Hungary, to you listening at home.